I'm going to start with a pretty traditional Pentecost reading. I have edited it down just a little bit, so it doesn't go on. But I'll be reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, then 5 through 8, and then 12 through 18. And as I normally do, this is from the New Revised Standard Version, the updated edition of that. Hear now these words. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered, and they were bewildered because each one of them heard them speaking in their own language. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language?" All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, saying, "In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young shall see visions, and your elders shall dream dreams. Even upon my servants, both men and women, I pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Maybe add blessing and meaning to the reading of these words. I also want to read a little excerpt from an article by David Atwood. The article is called "Pentecost Queered." And in it, he had this to say. "The Holy Spirit didn't speak in the language of the empire. She didn't limit to herself to Latin, the tongue of Rome, or to Aramaic, the language of the Galilean insiders. No. At Pentecost, the Spirit chose the language of the marginalized, the immigrants, the outsiders. She queered the very idea of whose voice matters. She refused to centralize power and instead decentralized presence. Pentecost is not about domination through one truth. It's about liberation through many truths being spoken all at once, all at full volume, and all as sacred."
This song is by Brandi Carlile, if you like her. And it's considered, I found it on the Billboard chart of 100 supportive Pride LGBTQ anthems that are supportive.
Hide how much it hurts.
wish your brothers were for a while longer. He got a dance with the devil on a river to meet the stream. Call it living the dream. Call it kicking the ladder. They come to pictures in your face to call you weak. And then this place you have your carry and your baby on your back across the desert. I saw your eyes behind your head, and you're looking tired, but you don't look scared.
My message this morning is entitled Pride and Pentecost. Pentecost. As the story is told, it is a movement, from fear to fire, from silence to the streets. There is nothing gentle about Pentecost. But looking through our blue hymnals in a search for our hymn today, I couldn't help but notice how tame they were. All of the songs for Pentecost. Things like Spirit of Gentleness. I mean, you heard what I read earlier. There was nothing gentle about that story. Now, fortunately, we have Stephanie. So, our hymn is much more appropriate today than it will be in many churches. The thing is, no matter how softly the hymn sings it, no matter how tamely some minister's message today will be, no matter how reverently churches dress it up in red and polite prayer today, the Pentecost story is not polite. It is not passive. It is not peaceful. It is loud. It is chaotic. It's a bit uncomfortable. Most of all, it's uncontainable. It begins with fear and it ends with fire. It begins in a locked room and it spills into the streets. It begins with silence and it explodes into a chorus of every voice, every tongue, every accent, every body, every truth that the empire tried to erase. Pentecost is a protest. Pentecost is a rupture. Pentecost is a holy riot of divine defiance. So no. Contrary to our blue hymnals, there is nothing gentle about Pentecost. And maybe that's why the church, capital C, has tried so hard to tame it. We've taken the wind and the wild fire and turned them into whispers and doves. We've taken the disruptive power of spirit and domesticated it into decency and good order. We've taken the story of the birth of the church and tried to make it behave. But love, real love, refuses to be tamed. And the spirit, oh, the spirit, she's got the drag queen flair for the dramatic. She shows up uninvited, uncontained, and absolutely uninterested in your approval. So yes, let's talk about Pentecost. But being that it's Pride Month, let's also talk about pride. Because Pentecost and pride were both born in fire, both born in resistance, both born in rooms where people huddled in fear, and both broke out into the streets with the courage they didn't know they had. Let's start where the disciples were, hiding. Hiding because the empire had crucified their leader. Hiding because the religious authorities were complicit. Hiding because they knew the system didn't hesitate to silence its troublemakers. And then, a sound like a violent wind filled the room. Fire appeared. Tongues of flames danced above their heads, and suddenly they were speaking not in one voice, but in every voice. I barely have to tell you, that's not a typical Sunday morning service. That's an uprising. And that's the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't wait for a quarrel. The Spirit doesn't wait for safety. She breaks through fear. She sets things on fire. She sends people into the streets. The book of Acts says that there were people there from every nation under heaven. They weren't just welcomed after the fact, you see. They were there when it all started. The Spirit didn't pour herself out in a room full of sameness. She chose difference. She chose diversity. She chose everyone. And Peter stood up and said, "This is what Joel spoke of, the prophet. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." All flesh. Not just the morally acceptable, not just the religiously approved, not just the straight and the cisgendered and married. All flesh. Every tongue, every pronoun, every body, every beautiful, boundless expression of divine image breaking truth. It was loud. It was multilingual. It was messy. It was beautifully, chaotically inclusive. Now, if that sounds familiar, it's because pride has a Pentecost rhythm. Don't let the rainbow merchandise fool you. Don't let the parade float sanitize the story. Don't let the corporate sponsors rewrite the revolution. Pride started in the fire. Pride started in fear. Pride started in a bar called Stonewall, where trans women of color said, "Not tonight, not tonight." Where queer folks lit a match and refused to disappear. Where the closets cracked open and the streets caught fire, and people who had been told to stay silent, started speaking in the sacred language of resistance. Just like Pentecost. Pentecost is also framed as the undoing of Babel. That's, of course, the story where God confuses the language of the people. But, you know, it seems to me that the Pentecost story doesn't so much undo Babel as it queers it. You see, the Spirit doesn't erase the differences. It doesn't erase them. She amplifies it. She doesn't make everyone speak the same. She makes everyone heard in their own voice. Let me say that again. She makes everyone heard in their own voice. telling you, that's Queering Theology 101. Because queerness refuses the false binaries. Queerness dismantles the idea that there is one right way to speak, one right way to love, one right way to be human, one right way to be spiritual. You see, the Spirit doesn't show up and say, you must conform. She shows up and says, you are enough. And then she pours out her love on all flesh, all genders, all orientations, all expressions, all bodies. The Spirit doesn't need a purity test. She doesn't need a doctrine. She doesn't need your denominational vote. She already decided, she already descended, she already declared, everyone gets the fire, everyone gets the inclusive love. Everyone. Now back to those hymns. You know what? Spirit of gentleness, breathe only breath of God, there's a sweet, sweet spirit. They're beautiful. They're comforting. But they're not Pentecost. They're not Pentecost. Pentecost is not a spa day for your soul. Pentecost is not a gentle breeze. It is a tornado tearing down temporal walls. It's a wildfire burning down barriers. It's a threat to the powerful and a lifeline to the oppressed. And yet, the church, with a capital C, likes to sing it real soft. Just like the church often celebrates pride with platitudes while still excluding queer people from pulpits, from marriage, from leadership, from love. Just like the church preaches all are welcome while pushing queer folks to the margins. Just like the church blesses the Pentecost fire, but shuts the door when it starts getting too hot. I'm glad that's not the case at this church. So let's say the truth out loud, with fire and with inclusive love. Condemning the queer community isn't biblical. It's cultural. It's political. It is a product of empire and not of the Spirit of God. Jesus never said a word against queer people, but he had a lot. He had a lot to say about religious leaders who shut others out. He flipped tables when exclusion got dressed up in religious respectability. And if you don't think he flipped a few, that he flipped a few tables now, take another look at who's keeping queer kids from healthcare, who's banning books instead of bearing love, who's using scripture like a weapon instead of a welcome. The Spirit is not behind that. And if we listen closely, we will see the Spirit is calling us to break all of that down. You see, every time someone comes out, the Spirit speaks in a new tongue. Every time a trans kid survives another day, the Spirit greets again. Every time a drag queen refuses to back down, the Spirit spins and twirls and laughs with delight. Every time the church says, you are already beloved, already, fire flickers a little bit brighter. Every time shame is taken off, every time joy is reclaimed, every time pride refuses to be silent, Pentecost happens all over again. Every time. Because pride's not simply about a parade. It is a pulpit. It is a proclamation that queer lives are sacred, that queer love is holy, that queer joy is resistance, and it is not, like some folks want us to believe, despite the Spirit of God. In fact, it is in alignment with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love. Let's be clear. The Spirit didn't stop His work at Pentecost. However you understand the Spirit, however you think of the Spirit, she is still pouring herself out. She is still breaking boundaries. She is still calling the church to get out of its locked rooms, out of its fearful theology, and out of its sanitized traditions, and into the streets. Into the streets where the hurting are, where the excluded are, where the fire is. When the Spirit shows up, she doesn't create a bunch of clones. She creates community. She doesn't reinforce uniformity. She breathes unity through difference. She doesn't come for decor. She comes for disruption. She comes for black trans women demanding to live. She comes for queer kids in pews who've been told that they're broken. She comes for everybody that's been told that it doesn't belong. And she fills them with a Pentecostal fire. People are still coming out every day. And not just in terms of sexuality or gender. People are coming out of bad theology. People are coming out of shame. People are coming out of silence. People are coming out of fear. And they're looking for churches that look like Pentecost. Not just red decorations, not just birthday cakes for the church's birthday, but real fire, real inclusion, real solidarity, real truth. They're looking for a church where the Spirit is still speaking in tongues that sound like them. Church that doesn't just tolerate queerness. A church that celebrates it. Church that doesn't just hang a rainbow banner, but tears down walls and takes real risks. Church that opens its doors when others are closing theirs. A church that feeds and clothes and shelters and informs and protects. A church that preaches justice on Sunday and practices it the rest of the week. That is a Pentecostal church. That is a pride church. And that's a church worth coming out for. From fear to fire, from silence to song, from closets to pulpits, from locked doors to liberation, from hesitation to holy boldness, from shame to shining truth, from exclusion to expansion, from trembling to testifying. That is the ark of Pentecost. That is the ark of pride. That's the ark of love. And folks, if we really want to be Pentecost people, if we really want to follow the Spirit, if we really want to walk in the fire of divine defiance, then we need to stop taming Pentecost and start living Pentecost. We need to stop policing people's pronouns and start proclaiming that all flesh means all flesh. We need to stop singing soft and start shouting justice. We need to stop hiding in upper rooms and start marching in the streets. We need to stop asking to save. Start asking, is it love? Because the Spirit is still stirring people up. And pride is still preaching. And love is still lighting us up in every tongue, every truth, every body, every breath. So let the fire stir us up. Let the Spirit speak. Let the closets crack open. Let the church come out. Let Pentecost be pride. And let pride be Pentecost. Mm-hmm.
prince. And yesterday was Chris's birthday. Okay. This tune is called Invincible. It's by a band called Muse. Tell Mark, to me, I don't know about what you think, but melody-wise and stuff, it kind of harkens Leonard Cohen a little bit to me. Oh, you see what you think.
family together. See this as a prayer or a meditation, or simply listen for the words that you need in the moment and grab hold of those. Let's bow our heads together. Good and clearing spirit who blows where she will, who cannot be boxed or bottled or belittled, who speaks in every language, moves in every body, and refuses to be silenced or subdued. May we be reminded that you have always spoken through the ones the world tries to hush. Through women when men wouldn't listen, through queerness when the church tried to purify, through protest when prayers felt too quiet. May the fires of your presence burn away our fear, but leave our queerness intact. Make us bold, make us beautiful, make us brave enough to be fully ourselves. Let us be unafraid to speak, unashamed to shine, unapologetic in our joy. Not because we are perfect, but because we are perfectly loved. Because love called us good long before some of religion tried to make us small. May we all no longer confuse comfort for a calling or silence for peace. May we remember that closets are tombs and the Spirit is always in the business of resurrection. May we learn from tongues of fire and streets turned sacred, from trembling voices that speak anyway, from sacred stories that don't fit the mold and never needed to. And when we sing of Pentecost, may we mean it. Not a whisper, but a wind. Not a flicker, but a flame. Not a doctrine, but a dance of divine defiance, where all flesh is holy and all voices are valid and all love is welcome. May we not wait for fire to fall, but may we become it. May we be the sound of liberation in a world still addicted to chains. May we carry Pentecost into pride, and pride into Pentecost, until the whole church comes out and all creation is free. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may you share that love and happiness with all of those you meet.
So this I got off of the Spotify list for Stonewall Spotify. You know this song, and I'm dedicating it to the Dave Sheets. It's the anniversary! Yes. Sing along, you know it. When the